They begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
We're back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. It's time, we do this every week on Fridays when we can, but we're pleased to be joined by our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Glad to be back with you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for joining us, and I assume you're en route back to the mothership here.
That is correct. Great little family vacation out to Mount Rushmore and the Black Hills of South Dakota, and just kind of makes you still proud to be an American to see that kind of stuff. So the quintessential family road trip, but we're on the way back.
That's awesome, especially getting to go to Mount Rushmore. This time of year, it's a good time to go to see that. We'll get into that. Well, real quick, I don't know if you've been keeping up with the news this morning, but a couple of big Supreme Court decisions, but I guess the one about student loan forgiveness being struck down, and then what appears to be the court striking down a Colorado state law is telling a web designer they don't, they're telling any business they have to accept people based on same-sex marriages and that's, LGBTQ preferences, that's a violation of the First Amendment. So what do you make of that? What do you think of that?
Well, two big decisions by a conservative Supreme Court a Trump court, right? I mean, the legacy of President Trump continues to, pervade, and when we see the responses to that, it's been helpful. And I think that this court's doing exactly what we wanted it to do, and I'm happy with that. The redistricting case, of course, aside from that, but otherwise, I'm very happy with those two decisions.
Redistricting is peculiar. Now, you've been away, but, you're hearing a bunch of different things from different people. I assumed you're kept abreast about what's going on. I know that there's a lot of reluctance to talk about it by those officials, fair enough. But does it, at least process-wise, seem to be going okay?
It does, and through the magic of the FM Talk 106.5 app, I was able to listen to your interview with Todd Stacey, and I'll tell you, I think he's probably got a very good hand on what's probably going to happen here in the next couple of weeks and what the end result is going to be. But those processes are going through right now. The plaintiffs have their map, we have the map we passed, and you've got individual senators all with their map. With the deadline of the 7th of July to have that map into the reapportionment office. The rules require that so that reapportionment can really work on any piece of legislation they need to prior to the start date on the 17th. So you're going to see pretty much what the options are probably by the 7th.
I will ask you like this. We're not going to be shocked by anything we see, do you think?
Well, I think there have been so many different options put out there that, it would be hard to do that. But, listen, the legislature is going to get together. You've got to put a map together that's going to be able to get the votes. And that's certainly what we'll be working on doing. Do I think that any of these in particular, that we'll pick from any of these? Not necessarily. The legislature is going to maintain its authority to be able to design its own map, but certainly with the guidance of some of those that have already been out there, there's no reason to necessarily reinvent the wheel. But I think the legislature will put its particular mark on it for sure.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Hey, I saw on Alabama Political Reporter that you were talking to right-wing websites I don't know which one that could be. But since you're talking to the right-wing websites about defunding archives and history to punish the department for holding a gay history luncheon, first of all, what are you doing talking to right-wing websites? But secondly, I assume the special session effort's still full. You're still going to go for it, even though it's not in the call.
I am. And you know, Jeff, I think it's important to do this. I have talked to a number of my colleagues who are very supportive of this. I am getting, you know, at least some indication from leadership that, you know, regardless of the fact that this is not in the call, that this is something that they feel that we may be able to talk about. And frankly, from the governor's office, you know, herself, that I think they're looking at it going, you know, maybe this wouldn't be so bad. You know, as far as putting it in the governor's call, I'll do this in the defense of the governor, which you and I both know doesn't happen very often, but I'm not exactly sure how she would have put it in the call. The wording would have been a little tough to get that down, but I would expect that if we're able to pass this legislation, then I would expect her to sign it. So I feel pretty good about that. And again, for your listeners, this is just really taking the opportunity to let the folks at Archives and History know that they're not doing what we as a legislature want them to do. We don't think that what they're doing is consistent with Alabama values, and we need to apply a little corrective action there. And hopefully, clawing back $5 million worth of supplemental money will be enough to get their attention.
Well, so I guess the my takeaway: don't read too much into what the governor's call says. That this is still in the works.
That's correct, and I am not concerned about it not being in the call. I did not expect it to be in the call. And I'm not deterred by it not being in the call at all. Again, I'll point back to vaccine exemptions, which was a very tough lift with virtually every single lobbying organization in Montgomery fighting against it. And we were still able to do it, still in a special session, still with overwhelming support, more than a two-thirds majority in both chambers, and still with the governor's signature, even though it wasn't in the call. So I feel like there's a roadmap. We've done it before, and we're gonna try to do it again.
Well, my advice to you, Senator, is just be careful what you're telling those right-wing websites out there. You never know how it might be construed. But more importantly, be careful what you're telling these other websites that take money from state organizations to promote a message. So I'll leave it at that. Speaking of organizations in the state, I don't know what your route is coming back from South Dakota, but yesterday it was Thursday, and I assume it's going to be the same this afternoon. There's just gridlock plaguing the roads in Alabama. Your friend Lieutenant Governor Will Ames were stuck on 65 again, which has become a regular occurrence for him. I think he's starting to get it that something needs to be done. As you well know, the problems with I-10. And then you just kind of see it in different places around the state. Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, they're having their problems. Montgomery, yesterday was a shooting there on the interstate near Prattville, but I-65 blocked up. I know that Rebuild Alabama did a lot of good things for a lot of communities, and we got the super exciting West Alabama corridor that I can't wait to go by the catfish ponds with four lane of access. But there's some problems here that just seem to be being ignored by our senior elders at the state level.
Well, you're exactly right about that, and this is simply a matter of setting priorities, and the priority needs to be where the congestion is. And I say that, and I'm sure you know you and your listeners are going, of course that's the answer. It's almost nonsensical that it would be going anywhere else. Yet you see the governor and the transportation director moving forward on spending almost $1 billion in state only money, no federal match, state only money in West Alabama. And you have to say, why? There's no population there. There's no congestion there. Their argument is that it's for economic development. But let's take care of the roadways we've got. Let's take care of the congestion we've got. and let's fix 65. Let's fix 10. Let's get some of these areas where we're seeing chronic backups fixed. And that's why I'm so excited about Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth's stance on this. Senator Gudger has been a big proponent of working on 65 as well. But listen, when you're seeing backups and congestion in Clanton tied to the condo checkout time in Orange Beach, that ought to tell you something. And unfortunately, we just don't have a governor that's willing to prioritize where people are, and instead is off on remaking West Alabama, again, with state-only money and absolutely zero federal match, which is not smart.
Well, what is, I mean, this is the thing. It's not that there's not even a plan, I guess, to look at 65, which is bothering a lot. Because it's one thing to say, well, we don't have the money to do it, but we're at least looking at it and seeing what's possible. But they don't. I think what bothers a lot of people, especially in that rarefied air that you dwell in, is that there's not even a plan. Like, if we had the money and we could do it, we would do this. And I think that's troubling.
Well, it is. And listen, it's just like, you know, how do you eat an elephant, right? It's one bite at a time. It's the same way you handle 65, you know. And oh, by the way, there is the money. There's $1 billion in West Alabama that doesn't need to be spent over there, you know, going past the catfish ponds, and we need to spend it where there are actually people. So if you reallocate those resources there, and you take it in bites, you take the congested areas, the highly congested areas first, and then you move through, frankly, what I think are probably the easier areas, the more cost-effective areas to do, second, and then you move on to the more troublesome areas, the bridges, the underpasses, overpasses, those types of things that can get much more expensive. You prioritize those interchanges that need to be redesigned anyway. You come up with a plan. Jeff, it'll still take a decade to do it, but, you know, let's get started on it instead of just saying, oh, this is too hard, and that's exactly what Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth has started off on, and I look forward to helping him with it. He's on the right track.
Well, what do you think? Because Ainsworth's having his like firsthand experience here, and he's the governor just travels by plane everywhere, and she doesn't maybe realize it. I don't. I mean, this is a legitimate question. I'm not trying to mock her, but I mean, when do you think the last time Kay Ivey has gone more than 20 miles up and down 65 in any direction anywhere in Alabama?
I don't know. I know that Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth is on the road an awful lot back and forth to Montgomery around the state of Alabama. He was down the other day in Orange Beach and Gulf Shores meeting with mayors and other community leaders down there. And then, of course, he's got kids that are, back and forth to travel ball and all those types of things. So I think without seeing the governor's travel logs, it's probably fair to say that Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth is on the road more than she is, and might have a little bit better understanding of what the issues facing Alabamians are.
Yeah, because it does seem that way at times. It's like, well, yeah, I would, because she responded to John Sharp in that AL.com article. Yeah, who doesn't want six lanes, but on 65? But it just there's no. A sense of urgency, and I know, even though you may have a sense of urgency, it doesn't necessarily mean it's urgent, but it seems like a very, very tone-deaf approach.
Well, and it's frustrating when you have somebody in that position of leadership that looks at a critical problem and says, ooh, that's too hard. And I just reject that. I want a governor who is leaning in and is willing to tackle the tough problems and get started on them, as opposed to saying, of course, who it's pie in the sky. Who doesn't want that? But we're just never going to be able to do it. You need somebody who's ready to go and wants to solve problems. And these are the state's big problems. Transportation is a huge issue in my district, probably the single largest issue. And it's an issue all across, the spine, if you will, of Alabama. It is not an issue in Perry County. And so we need to do what we can do to put the state's limited resources where they will do the most good for the most people. And that's our interstate system, without a doubt.
Last question, something totally different, but equally as troubling, and we'll get you out of here on this. the prison situation. And the more and more it looks apparent to me that Elmore County is going to consume all of this $1.2 billion that was allocated for prisons back in 2021, which makes me ask, is it entirely possible that in the next few years, you're going to see the executive branch come with their hand out to the legislature wanting another $1 billion for an Escambia County prison? I mean, this is not going as planned at all based on that 2021 plan, is it?
It is not going that way at all, and it is going to cost a whole lot more money than what was projected by the DOC commissioner and the administration. They did not have a handle on what this was going to cost from the very beginning. They didn't know it when they were signing a deal with private prisons. They didn't know it when they were asking the legislature for more money to do these prisons. And I don't think they know it now. And it is very frustrating to see that. It is, and the legislature is in it neck deep at this point. And the question is, what do you do other than just say, fine, we're in it and we got to appropriate more money to fix it? I will say, I guess the good news is at least we're spending it on public safety and not some other, left-wing thing like expanding Medicaid or something like that. We're at least, spending it on one of the things we should be spending taxpayer money on, like public safety.
Well, did you know that this Alabama Correctional Institute Finance Authority thing was a thing when y'all passed the bill, that they could just decide the way they decided the cost, it was clear to increase as much? I mean, I don't remember us talking about it. I don't remember any discussion. I do remember the oversight, and the weird thing was there was an oversight committee hearing, and only Matt Simpson and Clyde Jambliss were able to go to it. But was this even a consideration that you were aware of when y'all were passing that bill in 21?
So typically with big pieces of spending legislation like this, and you've seen this with ARPA and other big spending legislation, you can't get the whole legislature back together in time in order to make decisions or reallocations of funding. It's not practical to do so. We're only there 3 months out of the year, and then it's, how do you get back in order to make a decision in time? So, yes, I knew that the functioning was there in the bill in order to do this. The problem is, those folks are left with very few options. The answer is, what, do you just stop construction? Do you just not build the prison? The problem here lies with the lack of understanding of the cost on the front end. The legislature is not the one who determines what that cost or projects what that cost is going to be. Rather, we simply appropriate money to the executive branch. But the executive branch did not, and I don't think does, have a good handle on what fixing Alabama's prisons are going to cost, and not even a good handle on what building these two prisons is going to cost.
So we've got to leave it there with a little long, but thanks for joining us on the road, and we look forward to talking to you next week when you're back at home.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all have a great weekend.
You do the same. All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
We'll be able to call South, gonna do it again and again.